Hallelujah. God is so good. Oh, he is saying, here it is, my children. You are my children. I'll see you down there. He's got you in his sights. Oh, Lord. Lord, send down. Send down the Spirit. Send down the oil. Send down the fire. Send down the wind. All the earth will shout his praise. Amen. One of these days, the world will get an inkling of that and start shouting his praise. And then the earth will say, hey, guys, I understand what you guys are doing. Way back when I said you were foolish and crazy, now I know why you're shouting your praise and glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, trees of the field will clap their hands. Okay, all you trees out there, bring your branches together. Got any bumps? I mean, rocks out there? Rocks are going to cry out. The leaves, oh, the trees. Hallelujah. We're going to share a little bit about trees. I love trees. After last week's message and in Psalms 92, where it talks about the righteous shall flourish, 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar. Those who are planted in the house, whose house? The house of the Lord. Not any house. You got to be planted in the what? Right house. Not the White House. The right house. White House has nothing. There's no power there. The power is in that of the kingdom of God. Amen. Anyway, shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. They shall bear fruit in old age. Verse 14, they shall be fresh and flourishing to declare. He wants you fresh. He wants you flourishing to what? To bemoan and to cry and to whine? No, to declare that the Lord is what? Upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness. Woo, hallelujah. Well, that was from last week. I loved it in the Passion. I read it. Where it talks about, yes, look how you've made all your devoted lovers to flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. That was the end of the message last week of the year, but it's got to come into this year, amen? 2024 is going to be a good year. Proclaim it, expect it, receive it. No, don't look at the circumstances, don't look at the election, don't look at the news, don't look at the politics, don't look at them, don't. 2024 is going to be a good year because it's the Lord's year. Amen. Flourish. Each one will be growing in victory. I see victory growing in your life. I see you standing with strength in this year. That was part of the message last week. You've been transplanted. You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. In your presence, verse 14 in the Passion, they will and shall overflow and be anointed even in their old age. Even in your old age, guys, you will be fresh. You will stay fresh. Who wants to be fresh in their old age? I do. Bearing luscious fruit. Now, you've seen vegetation out there when they bear fruit and it's not so luscious and it's like, ew, it's no good. Throw it away. Your fruit is going to be luscious. It's going to be good. Say, I'm going to be good fruit. Yeah, you guys don't believe it, do you, the way you said it? You're out there going, I'm going to be good fruit. No, I'm going to be good fruit. I'm going to be luscious fruit. I'm going to be on his vine of 2024, and he might prune me. That's okay. He might take a little bit of me off, but he's going to say, I'm going to prune you, Tim, so you can be better, more luscious, more vibrant, more. Less of me and more of him. But anyway, even in your old age, you will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. So that was last week. Now, when I look at this, flourish is to that of thrive or prosper. Like a palm tree. Then you shall flourish again, thrive and prosper in the courts of God. You that are old, you will bear fruit. You that are old shall be fresh. What does fresh mean? You're going to be full of oil. You're going to be full of sap. Some of us, I've already been kind of sappy in my age at times. Oh, you're so sappy. It's not that sappy. It's sappy. It's running with sap. Ooh, life. Sap in the tree is life. Amen? They shall be fresh. Fresh means full of oil, full of sap, literally fat and flourishing. Flourishing. When you're flourishing with God, you're not brown. You're not dried up. You're not dead. You're green. Flourishing is green. Amen? Flourishing is green to declare that the Lord is upright, that he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So I want to take us into that of Psalms 1. We'll go back to Psalms 1. Psalms 1 you'll find at the beginning of Psalms, in case you're looking for it. Last week it was kind of like, I don't know, triumphing in 2024 with God's help. Now, I've chewed on that this week, and you'll probably have seen it if you got here and looking at the slides up there. As far as being rooted, I let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. 2024, let your roots grow deep. You know why? You're going to need a good root source to sustain the things that may come in 2024, 2025. I'm not saying it's going to be possibly an easy, great year and there's not going to be problems. But if you can grow your roots into God's word deep, you will withstand whatever comes. Don't you believe that? We're finding that on Thursdays. Last year back or so, before this thing was kicked off, I had shared with John many times about I felt like mining. We've got to mine God's word, dig in deep into it. And that is transpiring in our Thursday Bible times of studies with God's word. We're digging deep into. See, God is telling his people, we are his people, those that have ears to hear, be a watchman. But hear what I'm saying. What the Lord is sharing to his people is that hard times are coming. We're not denying that. But you better dig deep into my word. You better get rooted into my word. And that will sustain you through these times. That's why you're going to be able to shout for joy when calamities come. That's why you're not going to be fretful. That's why you're not going to have anxiety. That's why when everything's busting loose around you, you're going to be singing like, Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, it's all good. Maybe another part of that is digging deep, growing roots, is that you better get your vision straightened out to see him and only him. 2020 vision with that of God. See, all of these things that we are looking at, and I think, again, I could probably go back to, I've been here pastoring this thing now 17 years and all. And back in the very early on when God said to be doing what I'm doing, I always looked at Pastor Hoblett and I always thought, how can you have a message every week? That's a little taxing. It is taxing if you try to do it on your own and try to say, well, what can I share? Let's find something. But I began to find more and more that you are with God. And I'm saying with God is not always necessarily reading his word, but it's with God in his time of meditation and just talking through that of the Spirit and asking and seeking. And then he takes you to scripture. And then maybe that scripture was only for you. But then again, he takes you to some more. And that beginning scripture that he took you to was nothing but a leaping off point to go into something that's now to share for this. And it's not always been easy, but I'm going to tell you this. I've had more times of the message just coming week after week after week without putting a whole lot of stress and problems of trying to think it out. Then there has been like, oh, and there's been times, and I've been times where I've come up to you sometimes, and I remember a time saying, I really don't have anything for you this week, but let's just read his word. I shared with our pastor's group this past week or something, we're talking about, you know, all the messages and things and how to, whatever, to keep it sharp and cutting edge or what do we use and to make it like people are. I said, you know what? I said, even if you don't have a message, even if you've not worked on a message for the whole week, if you just open up the Word of God and read his scriptures, what more do you need? Isn't God's Word the truth? Isn't God's word for us today? Can you not just read something that's very simple in there and say, okay, Holy Spirit, expound upon that. Expand it in my life. Expand it in my spirit. Expand it in your church. And many times we come away from that. And you know what? When we turn it over to God, we never come away as a failure when we turn it over to God, because God is always there. And he's saying, I will have a word to share with my people. You may not have had it, Tim. You don't have it down in your little notes and things. But here, go to this and let's just read. Oh, okay. Don't want to do that. No. It's like that guy that was having hard times financially, and somebody in the Bible, you know, that of leadership, and all said, well, open your Bible and go to a scripture and do what it says. So about a week or two later, 3 weeks later, the guy comes to his office, or he sees him in a restaurant. The guy is really happy. Now he's jubilant. He goes, hey, brother, what's happened? I know about 3 weeks ago you were really down. You had some financial problems and all. And did that work? You know, did you go and just sit at your desk and open a Bible and point your finger on a scripture? And did it work for you? He goes, it sure did. Oh, yeah, what was it? He said, I opened my Bible up, and I opened the chapter, closed my eyes, and put my finger down on it. It says chapter 13. Well, he filed bankruptcy. It's all good. Chapter 13. All right, Lord, I can take care of my problems. You don't want to probably do that. That's kind of like scripture roulette. But God's word is powerful. God's word will teach you. God's word will open up things into you. And God is so good. But we got to have digging in his word. We got to have vision into his word. We got to see it with clarity. And all these things, digging into his word, vision in his word, digging roots into his word, it all comes by the way of the Holy Spirit. The word of God is there. Because I could take this Bible and you could give it and have somebody read the same scripture all across the board out in the world, and they that are not enlightened by the Spirit would read it as just like, okay, so your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph. Don't see it happening. Their spirit is not alive. They're dead in the spirit. You might even find a Christian to read that. Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. You've empowered my life for triumph. I've still got a lot of problems. I don't really, I don't know if that's really my word. Yes, it is. It's God's word. But if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you would read that going, the anointing of God, you, Lord, have made me strong and mighty. But I don't feel it. Well, it don't go by your feelings. You go by what the word of God says. What the words of God say is what you are. Amen. God doesn't say you're weak and feeble and crazy and this and that. No, he says you're this, all positive, all things that are good, all things that are strong. Those are the things we capitalize on. But he says, I'm strong and mighty. Yes, how come I'm strong and mighty? What's that going to do, Lord? Oh, it's empowering my life for triumph. Woo! There's two ways you read God's word, that of just reading it or that by insaturating and soaking it and allowing it to come into you. And that's what you've got to do at all times. But if you have not been doing that in 20 and 21 and 22 and 23, do it in, 2024. This will bleed. This is going to be, and it will be and could be, if you allow God's word to be the pivotal year of your walk with God and the things that he's got planned and prepared for you and the things he's going to be there with you and take you through. Amen. Amen. Yes. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hello, if you're in any one of those things, then right now, get out of it. The word of God is telling you, he who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. If you're in those things, get out and get yourself into the laws of the Lord and what? Woo! But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Get out of that wickedness. Get out of the pathways of those. Get into God's path. Amen? Anyway, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, nor stands in that path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he in his law he meditates day and night. Meditates. Meditate is to this, to reflect. Has anybody ever moaned when you've been reading the Word of God or just in his presence and you're just saying, oh, Lord, Moaning is part of meditating. To meditate, to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound such as sighing. Many times I'll just go, has anybody ever done that? Have you just, God understands your sigh. God understands your moaning. It's all of these things. To meditate are to contemplate something as one repeats the words, okay? It represents something quite unlike the English meditation, which may be a mental exercise only. In Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. From this tradition comes a specialized type of Jewish prayer called Davening, D-A-V-E-N-I-N-G, Davening. Could be wrong. And that is reciting text, praying intense prayers, are getting lost. Anybody got lost in communication with God? That's what meditation is. That is reciting text, praying intense prayers are getting lost in communion with God while bowing or rocking forth back and forth. There's times when I go into prayer, sometimes I sit there and I see different ones than the congregation here, that I'll just be, even like in our prayer group at the pastor's on Wednesdays, there'll be times in my chair, I'm sitting in my chair, but I'm just rocking and say, Lord, I just lift up this. Lord, we lift up this need. Lord, we, that's part of that, part of meditating. It's part of getting closed in with him to where you're just, you're there in that world and everything outside is not there. Okay, he shall be, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Rivers are, could be, of ponders by his, let's see, are channels. Planted by the rivers or channels of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Today. We're going to get to that, but it's the title of Spread Out Your Roots in 2024. Spread out your roots. Let your roots dig deep into that of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Meditate in His presence. Start rocking, man. Start rocking. Lord, help us. Now, when it talks about this and whatever He does shall prosper, let me have a clarity of that a little bit. Talking of God's prosperity, whatever he does shall prosper. This includes everything from your family, your children, your marriage, your business, your ministry, your job, and your health. It means God intends what he says, everything shall prosper. Now, I just lost some of you there. What? Everything I do is going to prosper? My family? Well, I got family problems right now. I thought I was supposed to prosper. Wait. Oh, I'm having a little rough edge in my marriage. I thought that's supposed to be prospering. My business, oh, it's kind of tanking a little bit. Something's going on. What's happening? I don't understand. Well, God's word says that's supposed to prosper. What's going on? Is God a liar? My job, my health, all of these things. However, no promise of God is without responsibility action to be taken on our part. No one will prosper until he starts doing what God says. Many people want the promises and results without the responsibility of commitment. But none of us will ever gain anything truly worthwhile in just an instant. Boom. Now, there's times that God instantly answers. Boom. But a lot of times it's a working in progress. The truly worthwhile takes time to develop. Do not expect God's answers to leap into your schedule. Remember, his answers occur when you put his word into action. Car is really good. Got a great car. How does it drive? I don't know. I've never taken it out. I've not put it in drive. It just stays in my garage, but I got a great car. Do you enjoy it? Well, not really, but it's in the car. It's in the garage. I'm going to save it and keep it. I don't want it to get dirty. Many times we get the word of God in us, and we don't want to get dirty with it. We don't want to get out into it and put it to practice and get out and get into the things of life and then begin to allow the word of God to come in and begin to activate itself in that situation. You can't activate it into your situation because you're not gaining with God. You're staying where the world wants. You're staying where the enemy wants to keep you here and not progressing forward to see God's word move. If he can hold us back, and what's holding us back? Is it the devil? Is it just us? I don't know. You can name it and whatever you want to do. Don't anything of the devil, do not name it and claim it. Amen. You name it and claim God's word, but you don't name and claim what the devil is saying. But many times we find ourselves in this situation and we just find like, well, it's been like this. I guess it's going to stay like this. Well, okay. Okay, it will. You just said it. But don't leap into thinking God's going to leap into your schedule and your event because you've said, well, come on, you said this word, God. No, remember, his answer occurs when you put his word into action. We got to have action in it. And just as a period of intense study precedes a college degree, so through patient pursuit of his promise, may we wait for the word of God to mature in our lives. You got to focus on his word. You got to dig into his word. You got to let your roots get into his word. You got to let that nutrients and things. We're going to get into some of this, I believe. If not, we'll do it next week. But I've got a thing here about trees. You know, you get into God's word and he's starting to speak about trees and palms and cedars and the height and a bit worth and the girth of them and all the things and the roots that go down. And he's going to plant you, and he has planted you by that of a river. He has planted you by that of a channel. Why is that? We need water. Vegetation, trees need water. You need water. What does God's word talk about? Watering of the word. The water of the Holy Spirit. All of these things that God speaks of, and it's in his scriptures, a lot of this relates back into that of the natural, into that of what nature needs, and we begin to find out we need the same thing. We already have known that you can go on a fast and not have food for umpteen days or weeks. But you better drink some fluid in about a day or so because you will die. Water. Your body needs liquid moisture, water to keep it functioning. Amen? Without water, your body begins to shut down. The muscles don't do the muscle thing. The joints don't do the joint thing. You know, you name it, the ligaments, the heart, the everything. Anybody in here has got knowledge of medicine and things, and I certainly don't, but I know that water, without water in your body, you will not sustain life. Your body starts shutting down. Wouldn't it, Penny? Yes.
Yes, it will. Within 2 weeks, if you would stop any water, within 2 weeks, you will die because your kidneys will shut down.
Shut down. They need to keep flushing the impurities out of your body. Your kidneys, God is functioning. All this is cleaning our systems, and if we don't have pure water in us to flush, it just harbors itself, and it makes us yucky, and we don't want to get into all that stuff. But it goes back to reverting back to water. Thank you. A lot of dried Christians. A lot of shriveled up Christians. Oh, God bless them. They come to church. God bless them. They give. God bless them. They're supportive. God bless them. God bless them. God bless them. But they're missing a lot. You need the nutrients of God's word. And then just like that, Janice brought us some vitamins, mineral stuff to put in our two pots of plants that we've got that we've had for many, many years. After we lost one or two years back, I thought, we've got to save our money around here. I'm going to buy these plants, and I'm going to bring them in during the summer and winter, and I'll put them back out. And those two bushes that are back in the fellowship hall, they've probably been around. I've been here 17 years ministering. I bet those guys have been around 14 years or more because we take care of them. We take them out when the weather is right to get the sun. Sun. Bring them in when it gets too cold, but we still have to do what? Water them. Water. Water sustains. When we got fertilizer. Well, I guess they're vitamins. Fertilizer. Janice brought us here, just sprinkle these on here. Boy, we did that and those things flourished. But it would not do any good in that plant if it did not get into the ground, get into the soil, get into the roots, and then the roots had to do their thing and draw that into that of the branches and into the vine and into the flower itself for the flower to show the results of the fertilizer, of the minerals, of the things in that to draw up. We get the Word of God in us, hello, and it begins to come out. It can only do one thing. You get the Word of God in you, it's got to come out. Yeah, but there's many Christians that are constipated Christians with the Word of God. We got to be honest. Oh, I've got the Word, I've got the Word. But you got to get it and put it out. You got to get it and put it out. That's what He has us here to do. Receive from Him and then go and share. Receive from Him again and go and share. We got a message to share. We get this vitamins and nutrients through that of the Word of God. Amen. Well, we got to get to the message or I'm not going to get there. Okay. In Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man, we've already read that, okay, but his, and there's expand on this, in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, we talked about meditating, ponders by talking to himself. You're okay. You're sane. Now, sometimes the world would say, you're talking to yourself, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm just talking to myself about God. Day and night, it says here. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers or channels of water. A channel is a bed where a natural stream of water runs. The channel could be that of the deeper part of a river, a harbor, or a strait. A river is that of what? A natural stream of water, usually considerable volume flowing. Its large or overwhelming quantities. Remember, here again, one of my messages, I think, I don't know what it was, wasn't for New Year's, but it showed me, God showed me at one time, and I began to look at the mighty Mississippi. And I started to research that, and you go up to Minnesota into the park and where this little, the river of the Mississippi begins, and it's no wider than this right here. Right here. And you can actually walk across it. It's just water like this. But it happens way up in the upper area of Minnesota. And it comes down, but it starts small. And then I did a thing of how much volume goes through that of the river when it hits certain spots of the Mississippi. And then, of course, when it gets down into the Gulf of Mexico, how wide is that? Is it that same width when it gets down to the Gulf?
No.
It's massive. And the flow. And why does it get massive in the flow? Because it's got other rivers that feed into it. And what really begins to develop a river is channels. The channels would... I know. I'm reading about the Word of God and I'm looking at stuff and stuff online for stuff. But the channel will generally begin like in a mountain area or the raised hills, and the water begins to flow and it finds a low spot. And so it falls into that low spot and it begins to find and it meanders down the hill into the pasture and all of that. And it goes into maybe a reservoir that turns into a river, or in fact, it actually flows from a channel and into a river. But it starts out small, but it gets volume and as it goes. Amen. So rivers begin, channels form the river, but then within the river, there's depths of the river, and you'll hear them talk about in the river. It's so wide, but it's kind of shallow here, but ooh, the current is an undercurrent. There's a channel in that river that they stay in because the channel is where it's the deepest, so they can put their barges and their boats in and not get grounded. And so river, channel, river, they all work together. The Word of God, it works together. We're planted by that of rivers and channels and streams. God knows what He's doing. Don't you believe it? The psalm starts with the joy that comes from obeying God. We're talking about Psalms 1. And refusing to listen to and discredit or mock God. The psalm starts with the joy that comes from obeying God and refusing to listen to any that discredit or mock God. Anybody know anybody as friends, if you call them friends, or people out there that mock that of God? Be careful. Something to be mindful of is this. If we hang around people, our friends, who mock what God considers important, we too might very well become indifferent to that of God's will. You gotta hang around people that have the same faith of understanding if you want to stay strong. If you want to stay vibrant, you get around those out there that are mocking God, discounting God, talking negative about God. Are you sure God can do that? Are you sure he's really true? Are you sure this? Are you sure? Are you sure? You will stay around that long enough. There's a possibility, not always, but why put yourself subject to the possibility of being drawn into that same negativity, that same thing of delusional things of God? We've had many people that said, oh, this person was raised in the church, this person studied, this person, and now they're so far away from God. Why is that? They got around people that were delusionally of things of God and speaking negative things and creating doubt in that person or any doubt in people, and the doubt takes root. We're talking about taking root in God's word. There's times where people take root in the negativity, and once you take root in negativity, what does it do? If God's word flourishes in with that of the root system, negativity, when it gets root in you, it begins to flourish. Consider this, how important it be. We too might very well become indifferent to God's will if we hang around friends or people that mock him. Consider the following. Do the people or friends you hang with, do they build your faith up or do they tear it down? Do they build your faith up or do they try to draw it down and create doubt? When you hear them and they share something in your spirit and 6 hours later you're at home and you're thinking, and you're going, Susie, she might be kind of right in that. I wonder if I am really. Maybe I put too much trust in God. Maybe, because what she was saying sounds, because I see her and she's gone through a lot of situations and I thought she was a strong Christian. But look where she's at. I don't understand. Maybe there's something to what she says. Well, if it's to take away from God, if it's to create doubt of God, it's wrong. Only the devil wants to sow discord. He doesn't need to sow discord out in the world. They're already lost. His harvest field is the church. Our harvest field is the world. So you got to even guard your friends that we call friends in church. And if they're really all that part of kind of like creating a lot of dissension and wondering about the things, maybe I'm not hearing it right, and you know you're hearing it right, or you're reading it right, and it's what God says, and they're saying that's not what he says. It's like, well, this is what my Bible says. Well, I've been enlightened by it now. We've had stories about that where organizational churches out there have made really some silly statements to say, well, we believe we understand really what God was speaking of in the Bible in the New Testament about this or this situation. We have a better clarity of it than Jesus did when this was written. Now, I've heard that. I've read that in articles. Some of us here have read articles like that in mainline, major lines of denominations, or even fragments of people out there that are not mainline, other levels of church organizational, loosely, that they begin to become God. They become, well, I am going to enlighten you because I read it in red, and Jesus is in the red, but I understand it a little clearer because we've got more history now to go back on, and I understand it more clearer than Jesus did. Those things are happening. Guard yourself. But if you are rooted in God, right? If you're mining God's word, if you're focusing on your vision on him, those things will not take you away because you will be a strong cedar, a tall palm tree planted with deep roots. So we've got to look at, do friends really draw you closer to God or away from God? In Psalms 1:2, follow God by thinking more on him and his word. It doesn't hurt to ask yourself how or what you should change to be more pleasing to how God wants you to live. Ask yourself, ask God, and I'll be ready for his answer and be ready to change when he tells you, right? What am I doing wrong, God? What should I change, God? This. What should I get out of my life? He will tell you and lead you into all of this, won't he? By that of the Spirit. Just be ready when he speaks. Now, you will be held accountable because he said, I told you you need to get that out of your life 6 months ago, and you didn't do it. And you said, oh yeah, God, I'll do that. So be aware, respond, and when you can't do it, of course, on your own power and strength, you ask for power and strength from him. That's what he's there for. No thing befalls us that God hasn't made a way to escape it. That's in Scripture in the New Testament. So don't go to God and say, I my problem you never dealt with before, God. Mine was very unique. No. Anything you're dealing with right now, God has a way for you to find your way out of it. But it's got to be through that of His Word, through roots in Him, through listening, through following, obeying. Isn't it exciting to be with God? It is. Because He loves us so much that He wants to care for us and get us out of our problem situations. We need to apply God's Word to our everyday life, and which will turn us and give us closeness to Him. And then one more thing, in that of 1:3. Reading in verse 3 about shall prosper does not make us immune to failure or difficulties, nor even guarantees us of a health and wealth and happiness. The meaning truly we find this in prosperity is this. When we apply God's wisdom, the fruit or the results or the byproducts of the wisdom of God we bear will be good and receive God's approval. Just as a tree soaks up the water and bears fruit, we also, as we soak up the Word of God, we become that like a sponge. I would say become a sponge. Absorb all of God's Word and allow it to come back out. Amen. Oh, I see some bounty picker-uppers out here. You, the quicker picker-upper. Wow. Take His Word and then allow it to be squished out to somewhere else and share it with other people. But sponge, draw upon. You know, we find that in the world, there are people out there in problem situations that they are like a sponge, and we will go to try to help them, and they will suck up every energy and every ounce of life that you got. Anybody been there? They will just draw it out of you. That's okay. But just be aware that you need to go back to the source. You need to go, fill me again, Lord. Allow the Spirit of God, oh, the anointing, oh, Lord, let a fresh flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit fill this vessel, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. He wants us to pour ourselves out. He wants us to be drawn out. Now, you're trying to help that person. You try to share some good insights of that of the Word of God. But be aware that when you do that, all of a sudden, but on the other side of that, I've had people that are away from that of God, and they're around people, and they go, oh, my gosh, every time I get around that person, all they do is they just zap my strength. Anybody here been zapped by your strength by people around you? And those that get their strength zapped, if they don't know where to get their strength back, they will be weak. They will be out there going, ugh. Oh, I was pretty good now, but now that this and this, I'm about as low as they are now. There are people out there that like to do that. I don't know. They're not doing it. Maybe some of them are doing it intentionally. But sometimes they're just their own worst enemy themselves, and they will just draw stuff, and they'll draw you down. It'll be like you've been in a fight, you know, for your life, and it's like all you do is you're just sitting there visiting across the table trying to share something, and it's like, ugh. But you can be re-energized. You can be renewed when that happens. But become a sponge. Absorb God's Word. Now, yeah, we got a little bit of time. We won't get into it all. But we can go into that of Jeremiah. Now, I was going to read all of that of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. We're going to find some things in there that relate to some of this. Judah's sin in punishment. And it begins that in verse 7, 1 of Jeremiah 17, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond it is engraved, on the tablet of their heart, and on the horns of their altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. Oh, my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth all your treasure. Verse 3, oh, my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth all your treasures and your high places of sin within all your borders. And if you even yourselves shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Do you think God can get mad? Think he can hold on and remember things? Now, we come to him, ask for forgiveness, repent of our sins. He won't remember those. He will dig them and put them in the deepest sea. But when you go against him purposefully and know what he's about and continually go against it, and he blesses you, and you go against it, you go against it, he bless, you go back and forth, back and forth. I believe there's times that there could be where you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever. But then he says in verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Who do you put your trust in? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Keep your heart with that of God. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. I don't want to be that person. Do you? I don't want to be the cursed man who trusts in man. Put your trust in man. We've all had our trust in man at one time or another, but we've turned our trust to him. Amen? Because there's what we want to be in verse 7. What does it say? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is where? In the Lord. So many times we hear people of today, they put their trust in man. They put their trust in their job. They put their trust in their government. They put their trust in this and this and this and this. Anything and everything that's built up and put together by man is fallible and is possibly going to fall apart anyway, and it will not sustain itself. We put ourselves in a lot of trust in what man has told us, oh, you'll have this, you'll have that. And then when the time comes where you need it, they go, well, we made one a little error. I'm sorry, we don't have it now. What? But blessed is the man who trusts. I say this, put your roots into that, the trust of that of the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he, oh, here's my tree again. For he shall be like a tree planted, where? By the waters. Cool, clear water, water. There's a gospel song out there with that. Which spreads out its roots by the river. River. You'll find when you're with that of the Word of God, the water of His Word, your roots that you have as you're growing into His Word, wherever water's at, roots will grow towards the water source. Do you know that? This reminds me, when I was coming up with this last week, a couple of days, and then yesterday it formulated, it's like, Lord, I think I've shared something along this line before, but I didn't go back and research it, but I remember this. I was talking to a guy that was doing some trimming on our trees one time. I talked about, you know, how the tree roots, oh, they're terrible for sewers and things like that. And this arborist, a guy that deals with trees, says, generalities is this. The tree did not break the roots of your septic or your sewer system. What had happened is that pipe cracked somehow, some way, and water began to leak out. And once that water began to saturate into that area of your yard and that ground under the ground, you couldn't tell it. He says, what trees will do, they will send, roots will go, and they will look for a water source. I go, really? So that tree root didn't break my pipe? Generally, your pipe is broke before, and the root just follows the, say, hey, there's water. Might take a few years, but that tree is alive. And the root system underground, it's somehow God, it's all created by God, but somewhere a tree is here, and a water pipe is broke back by that wall, that tree eventually will say, there's water over there. And they'll start sending out root systems. But that root will find that. If you're dry and having a hard time, just get into God's Word. Allow your roots to just draw and tap into that luscious liquid of fluid of water, the water of the Word of God, and that will sustain you and begin to draw from it. God's Word is so wonderful. So when the spruits are, which spreads, verse 8 at the end of it, and will not fear when the heat comes. So we talk about, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water, spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear or see when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Hey, focus on that just a little bit there. Okay. Even if you're in a heated situation, even if you're like, oh, my goodness, fear, I see heat, but it's not going to cause, you will still be green in dry times. which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will be in the year of drought, will not be anxious in the year of drought. We all go through droughts, spiritual droughts, amen? Been there, done that, may have another one, I don't know. But it behooves me when I'm in a drought to keep my root in the water of that of God so that I can still be green and still flourish and he will get me through it. May not be getting me through it to where I would like to be, but he will get me through it to where I will still be green, my age will still be young, and he will keep me lush, vibrant, looking good. May need to prune me, but I'll be good, you know? Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Going through a drought or whatever, you'll still yield fruit because you're tapped into that source of the Word of God. The fluid, the water, the soaking of that of God. You might look around, your church friends, they're withering in the vine. I thought we all went to the same church. What am I getting that you're not, or what am I missing? It's your personal responsibility of where you're at with God and digging into His Word. It's not my responsibility to keep you going. It's your responsibility to keep yourself going. I share this, I share that, this is all for me. But we all are responsible to keep ourselves vibrant, hooked up to God. And when somebody says, well, that church doesn't feed me. Well, that's because we had a thing back in Sunday school about what? A lazy person doesn't even feed itself. Remember that? They'll starve. Here, you feed me. Hand in the food, but they didn't take it to the mouth. I got my food here, but it sits really good on my desk or in my bookcase. It does really nice there. And we're starving on the vine. We're drying out on the vine. Oh, hallelujah. We don't need to be. We oughtn't be. We got the best thing, God, amen. But you're responsible. You go digging. You go mining. Come to Thursdays. Brother John is helping us dig into that, and we have signs of helping in our lives with that. Sunday mornings, doing the same thing. We're digging and showing and digging, and we're all on this adventure together, but we too need to take a responsibility to dig it and to take it and put it in your bucket. Amen. Take it and put it in your bucket. We find in Jeremiah 17:8, for us that trust in God, His Word describes us as trees flourishing like a tree planted along a riverbank. There's two ways to look at a person going through this life. In times of trouble, those who put their trust in human or mankind's ways will be disappointed, spiritually weak. See, this whole thing is talking spiritual. Spiritual building up. We have to have spiritual muscles. That's what God says. We talk about abundances and growing and prospering. Yes, He will take care of our material things. I'm not denying that at all. But a lot of His Word is telling us we need strong spiritual muscles. You need to keep yourself solid with that of God's Word, developing it daily, weekly, whatever the case might be. Those that put our trust in the humans or man's ways, we will no longer have strength to draw from. We will become spiritually weak. For us that trust in the Lord and we are following Him, we will have strength to draw upon for not just our own needs, but for the needs of others. That's where it's at. We stay strong in God because He's got us here to help others. Again, remember a scenario back in the days when they would tell you you get on the flight and they're saying, this is how you put your oxygen mask on if we should decompress. But before you put the mask on your seat next to you, you put your mask on first, because if you don't put your mask on, you're no good for anybody else, because then you will pass out. You yourself have to put the mask of God on in His Word. You've got to breathe this stuff in like that of what it is, oxygen, oxygenating, invigorating you, so that you can, during these times, help somebody outside that is needing that mask put on. For us that trust in the Lord, follow him, we will have strength to draw on for not our only needs, but our own needs, but needs for others. Be a tree that is well watered. Have strength for the time of crisis and distress. Be so well watered that you will even have strength to share to help others. This is where we begin to bear fruit for the Lord. We all want to bear fruit for the Lord. Amen? I'm going to change now from there, because we're kind of touching on trees. And I got a couple of other scriptures in the New Testament that I want to get into talking about roots and stuff, but I'm going to save that for next week. Can I share just this little insight? Here again, you put these things in, and I know, like Brother John, we talk about when you start putting a message together, it's just amazing how you start putting notes down and how a trail leads to another trail. You'll look at scriptures, you'll look at our dictionary, Linda. Powerful things to look at the word of what that means, and we got the word wealth in our Bibles that gives us the Greek and the Hebrew meaning as well, commentaries, and you begin and follow, and oh, you just open up so many things. So I want to look at this, and I'm going to revert back to Psalms 1:3, where we talk about that tree, things of that nature. This is from what they call a forerunner commentary. It's nothing that I did, other than I did go in and check some of the things that they had here. In regards to trees. It says that it talks about in this passage, there's five insights from this short passage. This tree represented an individual among God's people is planted. It does not spring from a seed dropped by a bird or blown by the wind. Its planting implies purpose. God puts us here for a purpose, right? And it talks about, and we're not going to get into the scriptures and what it goes into, but it talks about the Spirit draws us to him. We can share the word of God. We can share it like we need to share it. But until it takes that and what God has called that person and they begin to receive it and then they say the sinner's prayer, you know, we might be seed scatterers. We might be those that break the ground. We may just prepare the ground. You name it, whatever it is. But it's really the Spirit draws us to him. But anyway, so it's not just by a mere seed drop that all of a sudden, but we God knows all these things. It's planting implies a purpose. Talks about John 6:44 teaches that we do not come to God on our own accord. In fact, no one can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. He calls each person and directs his or her path, his or her life, planting where he desires. God plants us. And it also, we can look at this, God has churches out here. He has his work out here in different organizational areas. And God plants people where he wants them to be. The problem is people don't like to stay where they're planted, or people get planted in the wrong place for whatever reason. We've got to, when people have come here and said, I'm just looking for, we are looking for a church. We're just testing out and seeing where. I always say, God has a church for you out there. Don't give up. Keep praying, and I will pray for you that God shows you that church to go to. God does not want lone rangers out there just gravitating on their own and in their little corners and having their little glee club or Bible studies. Those are all well and good, but you've got to be a part of something much bigger to where we have that of the church, because Christ died for the church. But anyway, we find that he directs us and calls us and he plants us. In verse 2, he plants each tree by the rivers of water which nourishes and sustains it. Water, of course, is a common symbol of God's Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. So if God in his wisdom plants us right in the right spot and gives us plenty of water, we can guess what will happen next. And when I just read this just now, it throws it to me saying, we, anybody doing teaching and sharing and leading people in God's word, we've got to be kind of like on our game with that of God. Because we've got a responsibility to water you. We're not watering, we're bringing you to the water well, but we have got to bring the scriptures in such a way that you understand and comprehend it and grab a hold of it to where you have purposes of it and that it does something in your life. It's just not scripture and a verse on some kind of a devotional that sounds good. You got to get it in you to come out of you and to grow more to that of God. He plants each tree. Everybody that's here, I believe God has planted you here for his purpose. My responsibility, even John's, anybody in leadership, our responsibility is to make sure that we are doing what we are to water you, to fertilize, to help you grow, to bring you into sunlight, to do whatever. And that's what God's word does. All we got to do is just bring you to the source, right? It's nothing special or are hard. We just need to trust and use God's word for what God's word says and stay out of our own like, well, this is what I think it really means. Don't believe what the Bible says. Run. Find another church. Okay. That was kind of like that new forerunner commentary type. And then it gets into this. And this is what I found interesting. Notice that the psalmist writes that the blessed person shall be like a tree. Why is that? Is it possible that if we adopt specific attributes of a tree, we, like the blessed man, can avoid sin? That we could delight in the law and prosper eternally? So let's look at this line of that of like a tree. Trees get 90% of their nutrition from the atmosphere. Now, 90% of the tree and flowers, but we're talking about trees, 90%, and of course that's through photosynthesis and all. I start writing down these words, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm back in natural history or not natural science or something in high school or something. But it is photosynthesis. The tree is gaining all this. So trees get 90% of their nutrition from the atmosphere and only 10% from the soil. Humans receive physical nutrition from the soil through the food it produces, but we get our spiritual nourishment. I'm getting tongue-tied. I'm getting excited. Our spiritual nourishment from God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's through the air. Remember, the trees get 90% of the nutrition from the atmosphere. So wouldn't we, as children of God, get our spiritual nourishment from the Holy Spirit, which is the air? 90%. Through the air, or on the wind, as it were. If we wish to think of the Holy Spirit like water, we can imagine the tree receiving nutrition when falling rain thoroughly soaks its leaves. We can think of it this other way. Jesus is the vine or the trunk, and we are the branches that grows off of it. John 15:1. He puts us where he wants us on the tree, and we should be content there to do what he wants us to do. A lot of people aren't content. You've got to be content where he's got you. As the head of the church, he feeds us to prepare us to produce the fruit that he desires. It's his fruit that he's wanting to prepare and put in us for us to give out, right? And that's in John 6:45, Ephesians 4:7-24. So, now here's this. Most people don't realize that trees can induce rainfall. This is what I found really neat. Oh, okay. And I got this, and this is where I had to do some looking up. You know, you start taking these things down. It's like, okay, I'm not wise in this. I got to figure this out. So that 90%, you read, and this was coming through a source, light from that of photosynthesis for that nutrition from the sky, sun, atmosphere. And the soil, this is all from Lewis Gintner's, it's from a botanical garden study that they did. So we can, if we think of this as the Holy Spirit like rain, we can imagine the tree receiving nutrition when the falling rain thoroughly soaks its leaves. We can think of it this way. We talked about that, the branch and Jesus is the trunk. Most people do not realize that trees can induce rainfall by cooling the land and transpiring the water into the sky through their leaves. I've heard that many times back. It's so important to have trees. If you want to have cool around your house, plant trees. I see so many people cutting trees down. It's like, you want trees around your house because it brings cooler. It's like, what, 10 degrees cooler under a shade tree than out in the thing? Anyway, but trees are very important. Why is that? It induces rainfall by cooling the land and transpiring the water back into the sky through their leaves. Now, this is here. This is what's amazing, and this is what I found. A large tree, through transpiration of the leaves, they can lift 100 gallons of water a day. Now, this is nothing scriptural other than God created trees. God created everything out there in nature, how it sustains and does things. And everything out there is for a reason and a purpose. It's not just happenstance. It's not just, well, let's just have it do this. No, there's a viable reason why these things produce and go and why we need all of this around us, okay? A large tree through this can lift 100 gallons of water a day and discharge it into the air through evaporation. Now get this, an acre of maple trees can put as much as 20,000 gallons of water into the atmosphere each day. That's a lot. I found something else interesting on that. I put a side note on here. As leaves and the trees, they catch the rain. When it's raining and the leaves on a tree, they kind of, have you ever seen, and they can kind of tell you this, if you're especially maple trees and maybe all trees, but you can kind of tell when it's getting ready to rain because the tree, the leaves will fold themselves up. Have you guys ever paid attention to that? Start looking. And you will see, and that's what some of the old timers would look at. They'd see this tree, and the leaves are out like this, and then when there's a storm coming or something like that, all of a sudden the leaves will start going like this. What that's doing is getting ready to capture water that comes down. And it says here, as I was reading scripture, and now I'm looking at trees. Okay, guys, this is like, well, okay, God, this is exciting. Leaves, each one, leaves catch the rain. It evaporates then, causing the rain elsewhere. Spiritual. We receive spiritual rain. We've got it. We think I need to keep it. No, we get the spiritual rain coming down. We capture it. And it's for someplace else. To pass it on. Nature does that. These trees capture the rain. And that rain and that leaf evaporates up to be able to cause it to rain 50 miles away. 100 miles away. I don't know. But it's just something to ponder and to think about. That's just where my mind goes. Okay, when God's children help, Jesus Christ makes the deserts bloom in the millennium. Okay, Isaiah 35:1-2. They will surely be planting a great many trees in this arboreal image. We can understand that the Holy Spirit flows both in and out of us. As we use the Holy Spirit in proper words and good works, God gives us more. When we pray, encourage others, share the truth, do acts of kindness, and the like, we are doing what? We're transpiring like that of a tree. We as Christians spend our converted lives absorbing hit after hit, trial after trial. And if we do it right, we grow and overcome. Like a tree, we sequester or we store away the lessons of life's difficulties that we cannot afford to let them pull us down or to stop us. While taking in these vital life lessons, we respond by demonstrating an excellent example for those around us to see, to remember, and we hope that they would follow. So that's kind of a insight into that Psalms 1. But talking about the trees, it just amazes me when you begin to look at some of those things in God's Word. And then you look at the natural. I mean, John and me have all kinds of conversations of things in the natural and nature of how that mirrors so much of what God is doing if we just pay attention to those things out there. But again, as we wrap it up, and next week I want to get into the roots and things and what that root does and what develops out that we can give from our root system. And that'll be next week in some of the New Testament areas. But please dig in. Allow your roots to begin to draw down into that of the Word of God. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this phenomenal Word. Your Word, it just opens up so much, Lord. Lord, as we begin to read it and then we compare it and we look at the nature around us, which the very nature, Lord, that you created, I believe you want us to pay attention to these things, Lord, and there's a lesson for us to learn. May we capture that lesson. I pray, Lord, for this season, I pray for this year and where we're at, that, Lord, we would all begin and realize the importance of the root system. And Lord, you speak of us as being trees, and we've looked at that now for the last couple of weeks, and how, Lord, you plant us along riverbeds and the channels, Lord, so that we can stay vibrant even in dry times, that we will remain lush and green, and that, Lord, even in our age and we look at as being old, that, like, what can I do for your kingdom? You're saying there is still much for you to do in my kingdom. For I will keep you young, young in heart, young in spirit, to help share the wonderfulness of you, Lord, to those around us. May we continue to be excited, invigorated, with expectations of tomorrow. May we look at this year of 2024, Lord, as a time of growing further and more with you. Lord, that we will focus on you more, pay more attention to you, allow you to have more of us. Oh, Lord, it's not just for us, but, Lord, it's to get your message out, to grow your kingdom here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part of that. We ask it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We love you. We know that you love us. Ooh, go with us, I pray it. Be with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.